We're going to continue with your phone calls. 410-319-8888. Should black folks leave this country? We know in the last year, after the murder of George Floyd, in the midst of a global pandemic, 5,000 black families said, enough. We are out of here. Packed up, headed off to Ghana. So you know what? America is at my back. I'm going to a place where I don't have to worry about some of the issues and struggles that black folks have in this country just because we are black. What's your take on that? I'll go to African first, and I'll go to Mikkel. African, how are you?
Enjoying the weather. I'm enjoying the weather.
It is beautiful.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Well, I can hardly hear y'all.
Hey!
So what's
your comment,
do?
African?
It's a state of mind. Africa is a state of mind. You know, it's not based on the region or the environment, because it's the hood over there, too. Did you hear me?
I hear you.
Yeah, it's the hood over there, too. So it's a state of mind. And like Stevie wanted to say, God know where he wanted you to be placed. You ever heard that song?
I have heard that song. So you don't agree that black folks in America should repatriate to the motherland, to the continent. They should instead stay here and build.
Run it.
All right. Thank you.
You get me?
I got you. Thank you so much, African. Appreciate you. Let's go to Mikkel from Baltimore. Mikkel, how are you?
I'm good, Dr. K. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. We appreciate you calling.
A couple of months back, or maybe so, I remember one of your phrases you said, my blood is mixed in this soil.
Yeah, Frederick Douglass said that. Mm-hmm.
And I could just think about all the fights and trials and tribulations that our folks have been through for to get where we at now. And for us to move to Africa, I really would think if you were asking, they would really, really be upset. We came a bit far, and we still struggling. We still going to keep this fight on. We just going to get what we have to do. That's what I have to say.
All right. Thank you so much, Mikkel. So, folks, the question that's on the table as we're doing our weekend roundup is whether or not black folks, African Americans, whether or not we should be outward facing, and instead of staying in America, instead of staying here in Egypt, we need to get up and go to the promised land, get up and go back home. But see, here's the deal, though, folks. I just want to be very clear as we talk about black folks potentially leaving America. Everyone is not going to be able to go. We're talking about taking those who have the means, who can pay for it, who have the education to get jobs and pour into the country, taking them and leaving everybody else here. That's huge when you think about it. Why don't we talk about it? 410-319-8888. Gregory's on the phone, a new call from Baltimore County. Gregory, how are you?
I'm well, Dr. K. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
My topic is basically about black people leaving a country that's just as much theirs as they are anybody else. I feel as though it's ludicrous for us to leave this country and go back to Africa when we really don't know much about Africa other than what we was taught. Mm-hmm. If we get over there, how's the democracy going to be? How are we going to be treated over there as people? I believe we need to stay here, reunite as black people, and try our best to make change.
Okay, so with that in mind, Gregory, now, first, I don't want to make any assumptions. Have you ever been to any of the countries on the continent?
No, but I actually have business partners in Senegal.
Okay.
So I already know basically how the United States is looked at in that country, not just Senegal, in Ghana, in Nigeria as well, right? They don't look at us as them. So it won't be as comfortable as we believe it will be.
Okay. Now, well, we talk about comfort. Comfort is also tied to economic means, right? Because there are some of the countries that if you go there, they look like New York. Now, I have been there. I've been to Senegal, Ghana, Benin, Togo, Abidjan, Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, South Africa, Zambia. So I've spent some time. In fact, I lived in Kenya for a year, and I've been to Ethiopia. So I've spent some time in a couple of different countries on the continent, and they all look very different. Some of them are extremely developed, like if you look at Nairobi, Kenya, if you look into Accra, Ghana, and some of them are challenged and are struggling. But if you have money and you are going with all of your funds and your means, you are going to live a pretty comfortable life. If that is indeed what you're going to do, going to buy land on the continent so you can begin to grow your family there.
Okay, can I ask you a question, Dr. K?
Yes, sir.
All right. Cyprus say half the United States that can afford to live there.
Yeah.
Move there. What's going to happen to the ones that cannot afford to move there and stay here?
Yeah.
It gets worse, right?
It's going to get much worse. It's going to have to get much worse. That's what I'm thinking. I mean, we of course can look to the past to understand the present, to make some type of predictions and conclusions about the future, right? Based
right.
upon where this country has been, if we say everybody who has the financial means, the wherewithal, the educational background, because you may not have any money, but you have your degree, you can go over there and teach. You may not have any money, but you have your degree, you can go over there and you can set up a business, right? If
right.
everyone likes that, leave. That type of brain drain and economic drain takes place within the black community here in America. It's going to get worse. We're leaving behind economically challenged black folks. We're leaving behind our brothers and sisters that are incarcerated. We're leaving behind our brothers and sisters that are having a difficult time making it through, making it away from the mass industrial prison complex, even though they are physically free, they are linked to it. Like, we're going to be leaving a lot of people behind.
What about those that are well off? Why don't they just take those same resources and help the black communities?
Okay. So are you talking about the...
I'm talking about filthy rich...
Right, so the Oprahs filthy, and the Beyoncés of the world, right?
I'm talking about all the filthy black people that made it rich in this country.
Right.
It's a way that they can help the economical culture of the black people. But they won't.
No, can't say they won't. I mean, off the top of my head, and I don't have the research in front of me, I think of LeBron James and his school. I think of Beyonce and Jay-Z giving millions of dollars to HBCU. I think of Oprah providing money for, you know, women-owned black businesses. I mean, I think that when you talk about, quote, the filthy rich, Gregory, there are a lot of black folks with money who pour into the black community. But here's another question before I go to Miss Peaches that we need to look at. Why is it, and this always baffles me, Justina, we are living in a situation where we're dealing with oppression, hostility, white supremacy, and racism. And we say, you know what? We need other black folks to save us. How about forcing the government to do its job? Like, we also pay taxes in this country. You want LeBron James to come in and fix the schools? You know what? No. The school system falls under Dr. Sonia Santelices here in Baltimore City and her people. So, no, I don't want LeBron James to open up a school. I'm not looking for D. Watkins to open up a school. You know what? How about fix the schools I'm already paying taxes to? Yes, I appreciate Beyonce and Jay-Z giving money to HBCUs. You know what? Hold on. What about those of us that graduated from HBCUs giving money back to our HBCUs? And what about the government making clear on the promises that they gave to HBCUs? There's no reason that our governor should have withheld that money, that $447 million plus for HBCUs, and we're standing around begging, waiting for Mackenzie Scott to write us checks. Part of the problem is we need to pressure those we voted for to do their job. And then we don't have to say, Oprah, can you give us more? No, Oprah, you know, you enjoy your money. Government, give us more because that's your job. Miss Peaches from West Baltimore, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to agree with Dr. K that we, as Black Americans, here in this country, we need to stand together, unified economically, because we're strong enough. Why do we have to move out of a country that our blood, our sweat and tears have helped erect and build? I think that we need to unify and just be one nation here under God in America. And we need our 40 acres and a mule. They need to compensate us. And if they can't do it because all we're doing is talk, perhaps now we just need to unify. We are strong in numbers.
Yeah.
Whether we're rich, poor, whatever, dark skinned black Americans need to come together and stand once and for all and just fight for what's rightfully ours. I'm not moving anywhere because my forefathers died for this country, and I want my 40 acres and a mule. That's thank you.
Thank you so much. So, folks, let's go back to that. So, girlfriend just laid it out. See, here's where we get into the real problem of this American experiment called democracy. Because they did us wrong back then, and they're doing us wrong today. So what do I mean by that? If they had dealt with reparations then, we wouldn't be so far in the hole now. America needs to make do on its promises for keeping us enslaved and working our ancestors to death. And never making clear on that promise. We have Rashid on the phone. He's a new caller. We're going to hold him on. We'll deal with you after the break, Rashid. Stay with us. Today with Dr. K, I'm Dr. K Wise Whitehead. We're talking about expats. Should black folks pack it up and let's ship all of our goods over to Accra, over into Ghana, over into Nigeria, over into Senegal? Should we head to Togo and Benin and get up out of this country? About 5,000 black folks left America after the murder of George Floyd and moved to Ghana. Here's the deal about Ghana. Ghana is one of the most expensive places on the expat list. To even get a residential permit, you need a CV, a medical report, a police report. Got to get your passport, proof of travel insurance. You need to have an employment contract. The cost of living is higher than a lot of people even look at. Folks, we just received some breaking news that R. Kelly, after decades of abuse allegations, R. Kelly finally, thankfully, we're quite excited about this, has been found guilty on all counts in sex trafficking. All of them. You had men and women testifying about what R. Kelly did to them when they were children. He has been found guilty. I'll put that on the table if you want to talk about this case with R. Kelly, as well as the expat situation with black folks moving out of the country, which I believe Rashid wants to talk about. Rashid, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Glad to be on your program here this afternoon.
Happy to have you.
Yeah, so, regarding African Americans relocating and going to the African continent, personally, I don't have an issue with that. You know what I'm saying? I think one of the issues that African Americans have is underestimating their true value. I mean, we're very unique. There's no doubt about it. We're a very unique race within the United States, simply because we did come by force. Everybody else came by choice. We're the only ones who came by force. However, it does not eliminate the fact that we're still African people. So in other words, what we're looking at, it's got to be either or. It's got to be black or it's got to be white. What I'm saying is both. Okay, African Americans, the United States belongs to African Americans as well as the continent of Africa. And where I'm coming from is not so much getting up and just totally relocating, but what I think the smartest thing to do is to engage in commerce of almost African countries. If you were, like, right before COVID-19, if you were to look at the fastest growing economies in the world, out of 10, 7 were on the continent of Africa. And if you were to look at industries such as energy, you know, just clean water, agribusiness, all of these things, in which there are numerous African Americans who have a very good grip. They've been educated, they've worked in the system, and they have a lot of knowledge. And there's a lot that they can actually give
right.
to the African people where there's reciprocity, because there's a lot of things African Americans don't have. We don't have access to gold mines, coal tan mines. We don't have access to cobalt and all these things. And I know for a fact, simply because I talk to the people, I talk to the governors, and I work with some of the leadership in Africa, they're begging, would be very happy to have the African Americans participate in the growth of that economy. And I'm saying we don't have to get up and leave. No, you don't have to do that. However, it would make a lot of sense, just like Jewish people. We have Jewish people here in Congress who have dual citizenship. They're citizens of the United States, and they're also citizens of Israel. And what I'm saying is we need to start looking at things in a broader manner, not just pigeonholing ourselves and saying it has to be this or that. But we need to capitalize on everything, take a total picture, and capitalize on all that is there. And that means, again, if we can get a dual citizenship in any country that would grant it, take it, and work both sides. You don't have to totally go over to the African continent. You can stay right here and still have a major impact in Africa by just going over back and forth and engaging in commerce. That's my contribution.
I appreciate
today.
That, Rashid. Thank you. So, folks, maybe it's not either or. Maybe we're talking about an and both situation, that if folks want to move, then we are going to have a situation that's going to impact us. Let me tell you what I mean. We had a couple of people chime in off of Twitter. And so Yotapia Golf said, look, it's just like the public and private school brain drain. The results will hurt those who stick it out. Additionally, we had Brand New 63 who said, look, what we need to do, Dr. K, isn't move. We need to run the white folks out and make them go somewhere else. We got to get our young black kids to stop killing each other and join the movement to fight against this system here, this system of white supremacy, this system of whiteness, this system of white privilege. Now, when I say this, I always have to have this kind of mini disclaimer, folks. When we talk about whiteness and white supremacy, it is beyond the individual white person that you know. We are talking about the roots of this system, and this system is rooted in privileging whiteness and oppressing everything else. This system is rooted in privileging men and then oppressing everyone else. This system is rooted in privileging those that fit within the circle of privilege. White. Being a man, being cisgender, being heterosexual, being a middle or high income, being educated, being able-bodied, being a native English speaker, you get privileged. It's just what we're talking about. And it's also why it has to be dismantled. Because as long as we leave it the way it is, then we should not be surprised that we're getting the results that we're getting. It's the quote that one of my callers said earlier. He talked about it being lunacy. Really, they talk about the fact that it's insanity. Like, it's insane to keep doing the same thing over and over and over again and expect different results. As long as you do it the same way, you will keep getting the same results. I'm not a scientist, but I do know that's a faulty experiment if I never change any of the variables. It won't ever work. If I'm having a problem paying my bills, but I'm working the same job and I'm having the same spending habits, it's insanity to think if I just keep doing it, things will get better. It's not going to get better. I have to get better. I have to change the variables. I have to do something different. And then the situation will be different. We have Dwayne on the phone from Baltimore City. Dwayne, how are you?
I'm just happy to be here, Dr. K. Just happy to be here.
Happy to have you.
This is a very interesting conversation. And I do have to agree with the brother who spoke before me, who said that, you know, we need to be more or less international commerce type folks. I'm with that 100%. Okay. But let's not even imagine on any level that if we were to go somewhere else, that it's going to be perfect. If we all went to Africa, we would learn in a very quick manner, you know, where we fit in the pecking order and all that stuff. You know, I don't believe for one second that we're going to go somewhere and they're going to be like, oh, just come on in and just going to hug us and kiss us. And here's all this land that they never gave you in America. And we got some mules for you and all of that. I mean, it won't be a walk in the park. It would be lots of effort in order to get to some level to where you would feel like you're making some progress, but don't believe for a second there's going to be a walk in the park. No. That's why I say my philosophy is make the best of the situation that we have, but also expand like the brother who, before me who said.
Yeah, I like that idea that we set up a whole system that some who can't go stay here. Because, Dwayne, if it's really about those who can will go, are we not setting up a situation where we're willing to sacrifice some brothers and sisters on the altar, given the fact that they just don't have the economic means to join the rest of us?
Absolutely. Look, there is no progress without sacrifice. Mm. Name it.
No, it's not.
Name progress without sacrifice. There is no such thing. You go sacrifice something. Something has to be sacrificed. Something has to be given up. That's just reality. Okay, and anytime you argue with reality, you're always going to lose.
That's true. But then what do we do? I mean, so leaving is not the answer. Staying is not the answer. To make the government do its job, which means we need all hands on deck. We need black folks in this country to recognize that what's happening on the border with Haitian migrants, that is our issue as well. That we cannot divorce ourselves from any of these issues.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Dr. K. But I think that even before that, we have to do some massive healing of our own wounds of ourselves because, man, black people, it seems like we hate each other. We absolutely seems like we just hate each other. I mean, I'm out here in the workplace, and let me tell you, you know, I'm a manager, okay? And every place I go, it's a fight. It's a struggle. It's like, you know, it just doesn't make sense. And it seems like we can't stand each other. We hate each other so much that we can't get nothing done. So unless we heal our own wounds, there's no way we can help the Haitian people. We can't even help ourselves. Mm. I mean, look at the crime in our own cities and the ever embracement of mediocrity. Just enough to get by. Just enough to get by.
How about we help the Haitians if we got the attitude
of just enough to get by?
Okay, let me say, brother, let me just say that what you're doing here, Dwayne, you are tapping into a whole nother level here. Because part of what you're getting into, and you may have done this on purpose, well, it doesn't matter. Carter G. Woodson talks about how we set our children up because they are miseducated. That leads to mediocrity being seen as genius, and it is not. Being mediocre is not genius, and we do that through education.
Right, right. But we who are experiencing this should know better and can do better.
Yeah.
But, you know, but I don't see the big effort to re-educate the black mind as to what's real. It's just, hey, embrace this materialistic society as it is. Step on your brother if you need to get where you're trying to go. Pimps, hoes, all that. That's all I see. I mean, it's rampant.
All right. Thank you so much, Dwayne. Y'all, thanks, Dwayne. Dwayne has tapped into something. So then I need to ask you, right? So now we got to get real. Because when we talk about trying to relocate, trying to repatriate, trying to move up and say, you know, we up out of here. We want to go into Ghana, and we want to move to Ghana, right? 5,000 black folks have moved to Ghana. Okay. Here's I'm wondering what's going on, because what is really important is we have to understand that the way is not going to be that open for everybody. Is Ghana prepared at this moment to take in about 41 million black folks? I mean, come on. All right. So say we get sprinkled all over. Some of us go to Ghana, some go to Senegal, some go to Nigeria, if that's what you want to do. I mean, like, I'm just saying. We're talking about trying to figure out how to do this, if this is what you want to do. But if you want to be an expat, you need to have about $2,104 bucks coming in every month to take care of a family of four. That's one. If you just talk about Accra, Ghana. Nigeria is about 12% less expensive than Ghana, but Nigeria is not necessarily open up the doors for black folks to come in, okay? Let's be clear. You got to go where they want you to. Number two, do you understand that you can't even get a work permit for Ghana? You just don't roll up going, hey, I want a job. Why? Because at that point, hear me when I tell you, may not like this, you will be an immigrant. How does that sound? You're not a Ghanaian citizen. You are still an American citizen. And are you really willing, I'm just asking, to give up your American citizenship to give up your American passport and say, you know what, Ghana is my home. I am here. Corcoran Smith on Facebook Live said, you know, I hear the comment about sacrificing our brothers if we leave, but what do we sacrifice if we don't leave? Maybe those of us, maybe those of us who can go must go. Look, y'all, let me just say, as an empty nester right now, I can tell you, after talking to both my sons, seeing one of them this weekend in Memphis, talking to my other one in Pennsylvania, neither one of them are leaving at all. Okay, so now I'm talking about me and my husband, and I'm not sure if he's even going to go. So it might just be me trying to be an expat. What do you do if your folks don't want to go? I am not prepared in 2021 to say, you know what, family, stay here. I'm going to go do it myself. I'm going to Ghana because I'm the only one who wants to go. It may be that we start talking about sacrifice. Maybe we start talking about working both ways. Maybe those who go work over there. Those who stay work over here. And we try to build some bridges here that will support all of us. We have Z on the phone from Northeast Baltimore. Z, how are you?
Hey, can you hear me?
Hey, Z, how are you?
I'm fine. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. I'm from Ghana.
Yes, hey.
Yeah, I was born there. I came here in 1958. And what people don't understand about Ghana is it's a beautiful country, but the cost of living is much, much lower than here in the States. A nurse would make like $70 a month. As compared here, she would make about $100 a day. So before you pack up and go to another country, you better find out about the cost of living. Mm-hmm. Is it okay to live there? You know, and you, whatever your occupation is or your profession is, make sure that it will be, you know, accessible when you get to another country, because you have to really do your research before you move and pack up and go anywhere and take your family.
Oh, man.
When you visited there, tell me about your experience, because I know for a fact that there were some Americans that left to go to Ghana back in the 80s, and they got there, they got a big surprise.
And ended up moving back. Many of them moved
and
back. One
up,
of them was
right.
My counselor from Lincoln University. My counselor, Reggie Walker, moved his family to Ghana. He was opening up a business. In short order, he was back to Philadelphia.
Yep.
So they
you gotta know about the economy of the country, how the country runs.
Yeah.
Also, what a lot of Americans don't know is that Ghana is a military government.
Oh, yes. Well, let me say for my experience, Zen, thank you for asking. I went as a tourist. Well, I mean, I was in my 20s. I had no plans of, hey, I'm moving to Ghana. I was going to Accra because I wanted to go and visit down the Cape Coast. I wanted to go to the castle and see where captured Africans were held before they left. They were carted off out of the land. I was there as a tourist. I went from Ghana to Benin to Togo, going to all the last slave ports into Dakar, Senegal. I wasn't there thinking, you know, I'm going to move here one day. I lived in Kenya for a year, and I will say, as much as I enjoyed living in Kenya, it was not home for me. I wanted to come back home to where my family is, to where my roots are. And this is kind of an interesting thing to think about, folks. And maybe we should start digging a little bit deeper about our roots here. Because I am, even though I am an African American, my roots are in this country. I mean, my roots are dug deep in this country. I'm from South Carolina. Now, in terms of tracing South Carolina by way of is where it gets a little bit confusing. But I know my family on both sides have traced back as far as we've been able to go. My mom's family still has their paperwork from the 40 acres and a mule that they received at the end of American enslavement. My dad has the name of the two brothers who were the plantation owners where our family lived, Dave and John Draft. So I'm just looking and saying, I got roots deep in this country. I tend to agree with Frederick Douglass that we built this country, that our blood is mixed with the soil of this land. And if anybody should be leaving, it should not be us. And it's definitely not my indigenous brothers and sisters, because the land originally belongs to them. Black folks helped to build this experiment called America. So why should I leave? Instead, let me make this corrupt government do its job, starting with giving my people their reparations. Run us our change and give us an opportunity to equally participate. We have Vanessa on the phone from Baltimore. Vanessa, how are you?
I am good. I just wanted to say, the young lady before you said something really important. She said you have to do your research when you're going to go relocate someplace. If we could only do the research, if research requires reading, it requires study, and it's the one thing we're lacking right now. We can't get our kids to sit down and study so that that genius that we suggest that they are in some schools, which is inferior in other schools, if we could just get on one plane where good is good here as well as there, and if we could just get each other to read and support each other, we'd be so much farther along.
I think so. Let me ask you this, Vanessa, before you go. So if we do that, what do you think about putting the additional pressure on anyone who's a voting age to get out and do that part of the job? Because part of it is thinking about who goes into office if we are indeed saying we're going to stay here.
You said, what's the question again?
How about making sure those that are 21, 18 years of age and older, you can vote at 18, right? 18 years of age and older, making sure they're actually participating in that process. They're getting out and they are voting.
I agree.
So we can make sure that we are transforming this society from the inside out.
I'm a parent and a grandparent, and I can tell you my grandkids have lived with me. It is a requirement. It was a requirement that you get out and vote. No matter where we were, no matter what we were doing, you stop, I don't care what it is, you vote. You talk about why you're voting for who we're voting for, and there's an understanding. And so it happens, and it's the responsibility of every parent to their children to say, here's why it's important, but to enforce it. We shouldn't have to force it. If you're teaching it, then it should be a natural transition. Any time it was time to vote, it's like they all knew, all right, Grandma, even if you didn't have a ride, I'm coming to pick you up.
Yep.
We're going, and we're going together.
Yeah, I love that.
It has to happen. It has to happen, and it does happen, and it's up to us to enforce it.
So, to make sure it continues.
We get busy with a whole lot of things, but here's the thing I think would be really wonderful is that sometimes while we're out there working, we're doing things, and a lot of parents are, they're weighed down, especially the poor. You might be working two or three jobs. The who do you vote for? The why you vote for something. You know, when Obama was running, we all knew we were going to press that button for Obama. But there wasn't an understanding when Obama was in there that when other elections came along, you needed to go out.
Yes.
And if you're a Democrat, you got to go vote for Democrats. You have to understand that's your party, that's what you're doing, that you're supporting. Those people are going to support the things that are beneficial to us. And it's not just about one individual, oh, he's a black man. It's about going out each and every time to vote to support the people we put in office and then to educate each other. You know, in our communities, we should, and in our churches, and not just churches, I don't go to church. I rarely do. I listen to it on the radio. I have friends that get together to pray. But we should be taught that there should be something that says, and we listen to you, that says, hey, listen, here are some of the issues. Here,
right.
This is the pros and cons of it. And we should be doing it in each other's homes, just like, you know, I go back to the Underground Railroad. Hell, if we were still waiting for somebody for them to have delivered us, we wouldn't be where we are today.
Come on, Vanessa.
For that purpose. We came together, and it was a secret. We don't need to tell the world. Sometimes we get on there. Listen, if my kid doesn't pass English, I know that my kid is failing English if he or she is failing English. I know that because I'm in there. And even though, you know, sometimes we get so many responsibilities, I adopted mine. Look, I'm crazy, but it's like, wait a minute. Read it to me. You got an essay? Read it to me. Oh, well, you know, Grandma, somebody checked it. I said, listen, let me share something with you. This is hard. If in your school, you may show that you know something about writing. You understand? You can write a sentence and you can get some supporting sentences. You can put a paragraph together. But when you get to college, if you make it that far, the punctuation that you know nothing about, they give you an A.
Come on.
Because you showed that you understand a little bit more than the rest of them did.
Yeah.
That's not going to get you anywhere once you get they would have brought it.
I had a grandson
who just showed me a paper that one of his professors asked to write. Well, she's doing something. I was so proud when we went to a birthday celebration for the other grandson, and he said, "Grandma, read this letter." I was so proud. It was so well written.
Show us.
For what we want. Not just the things that make us look good on the outside,
but
the things that says we've got substance on the inside.
Thank you, Vanessa. I appreciate that. Folks, not just the things that make us look good on the outside, but that we've got substance on the inside. Are we? And I'm asking you, and I'm also, to be clear, asking myself, are we challenging our children? Because we got to bring this all the way back around, because we've been talking these generalities. Oh, this is what we should do as Black folks. Okay, let's bring it on home. Are we challenging our children to be better? Are you doing that? Are you actually having the hard conversations with the children in your life? I wrestled with this over the weekend. My column came out last Monday, and it said, "For a Black mother, freedom is a whole word." And in my column, I talk about how when I left my son at college, my youngest, he said, "You know, Mommy, give me a word. Give me something to chew on, something that can become a goal." I gave him the word freedom. I said, freedom is something you got to be willing to sacrifice for, because freedom itself is a whole word. People like R. Kelly, we don't need to take people like R. Kelly with us. If we're going to talk about really moving to the freedom land, we got to talk about who is even coming with us. Because if we stay here, there is a chance, based upon what's been going on for the last two decades, this American experiment is going to collapse anyway. I mean, there's a chance we're getting ready to look like we're having a practice of getting ready to run out of money. We're running a very large budget deficit. We all agree that America must pay its bills, but the Republicans are expected to block a measure in the Senate today that would enable the government to pay its bills. Meanwhile, President Biden, I mean, it's like everything's about a $1 trillion package. I mean, it's just that.